Very pleased to be talking to Dave Proudlove today about his fantastic book, When the Circus Leaves Town, which is a book about what happens when football clubs move locations. Obviously, this is, Dave, very close to home here in Stoke-on-Trent because, of course, of the number of changes that the clubs around here have made. Not so much for Stoke, of course, but they've only moved once back in 97. But it was quite a big change for them moving from the Victoria Ground up to the what became the Britannia Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it was a big thing for me personally. That move was all, you know, tied up in the idea for the book. I started to watch Stoke in the early 80s. I used to go down to the old place with my dad, and sort of the football there, it was our thing, if you like. So, you know, it was a big part of the relationship that I had with my dad. So obviously, to move was like it was like moving house in some respects. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a home, and then we had a new home. And you know, I think that's a story that certainly I've heard. You know, talking to supporters of other clubs and people that I know that support other clubs. You know, how they took to the moves that they've been through.
One of the points you make in the book is that that wasn't a change of lives. It's a change of routine. The build-up to a particular game at the Victoria Ground, now their routine was completely changed. And it took a long time for people to get used to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to be honest. I don't think... my dad's not with us anymore, unfortunately. But I think that's something my dad never actually got used to. My dad was a creature of habit, and you know, his match day routine never changed in years. And then all of a sudden, wow, it was this sort of brave new world, if you like. And he was like, right, I've got to do things differently. And Dad was, as I say, he was a creature of habit and didn't appreciate that disruption so much. But, you know, at the end of the day, my dad would have gone watch Stoke wherever they played their football, so he wasn't too enamoured with the new place. He got on with it, and you know, he's still there.
And although you start off with talking about Stoke City, and there's a lot of wonderful stuff about whys and wherefores of the move from Victoria Ground to the Britannia Stadium, but you cover a lot of other grounds, and they have similar reasons, I think, that they had to move. You've homed in on a certain selection of clubs. Derby, I know, is in there, Shrewsbury. I think you talk about Arsenal and a few others. Are the reasons why they had to move ground very, very similar on the whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think... Ultimately, it came down to economics. Now, the economics of football changed. You know, obviously, a lot of this upheaval, most of the upheaval, was rooted in the fallout from the Hillsborough disaster, which, you know, although it said that terraces weren't a problem per se, there was a recommendation for all-seater stadia, and that ultimately led to, in a lot of cases, reduced capacities. And so, you know, the whole model and you know, the economic aspect of it had to change. And of course, these things had to be paid for. So, you know, obviously the redevelopment of old grounds came into play, and hence you see retail parks, you see warehouses, you see housing estates where people used to go and watch the game. There's a generation of new stadia in the pipeline now, which I think and certainly hope that we'll have learned a few lessons from the sort of post-Taylor report generation. The impact on the landscape of towns and cities around the country has been huge.
The book also talks about the new stadium and where they went to and the differences between, say, what Stoke did and Sunderland did compared to, say, the Etihad and the Emirates, amazing stadiums and all this sort of thing. But it's also, of course, what was left behind. And there's some fabulous pictures in there of what the clubs or what communities did with the old stadiums. I think on the back of the book, am I right in saying that on the back of the book, that is the old Highbury?
It is, yeah.
I thought so, because I don't think it actually, there's another picture, I think, inside of the Shrewsbury, because it's like, well, you can tell it, you know, is there a similarity? It looks like it's housing and flats and this sort of thing, but they preserved the stadium. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what happened with Highbury? I mean, of the various redevelopments, I mean, Highbury, certainly, yeah, from a design perspective, it's absolutely spectacular. And, you know, from an architectural perspective, I'd say it was my favourite. However, I don't think you'll see too many sort of ordinary Arsenal supporters living there. I think Thierry Henry bought one of the apartments in there. It's heavily, heavily gentrified. But I mean, the reason, well, there's two main reasons for that. Two of the stands at Highbury were listed, the two Art Deco stands, so they had to be preserved. And I think I'm right to say that the football club retained the freehold of the sites, and so we were able to shape this redevelopment and how it was handled, which is a completely different approach to in other places. So if you look at Sunderland and what was Roker Park, and Middlesbrough, what was Ayresome Park, they look absolutely identical. I'm pretty, I'd hazard a guess and say that the same house builder built both estates, because they're so similar. And you know, Arsenal's approach was different, and so the end product was different, and it's more satisfying. But the gentrification of it, I suppose, sticks in the craw a little bit, because you know, that was a place where, you know, ordinary people went to switch off, to, you know, enjoy themselves and see the football. And Shrewsbury's the same in that respect. It was almost like a common, if you like. Now it's, you know, the redevelopment of Shrewsbury is your classic gated community. There's a sign on the entrance that says, you know, I can't remember the exact words off the top of my head, but it's something like, you know, strangers shall not pass.
Yeah, is it good that at least that some of these old places, I say old grounds because they're not really grounds really anymore, that sort of the places where these clubs were, the where, you know, communities came together, you know, you can actually go to these places or at least see where they were. But I'm not sure if this is covered in your book, but, you know, there must be certain clubs who have moved ground, and finding where the grounds used to be can be quite hard. And if there's a plaque, it's blooming hard to find.
Yeah, the most difficult one was what was Newport County's old place, Somerset Bar. That, unless you knew, you wouldn't know. Millwall's old place, obviously, was quite notorious. And there is a plaque market. It's just a nondescript housing estate, but there is a small plaque that marks it. But it would, you'd easily miss it. I mean, there's a bit of effort went into, obviously, the Victoria ground, but you know, I think perhaps more could have been done. Coventry's, you know, is the same. It's a very tokenistic approach. You know, I think some of the best efforts, Manchester City's isn't a bad effort, although I would say that given I was involved in the scheme. But yeah, there's a big case of, if you didn't know. Oh, clearly Arsenal's is the most prominent, because two of the old stands are still there.
Yeah.
But in other places, that's not the case.
There's so many questions I want to ask you, but I think we'll have to cut it short there. All I can say to people is, if you want to know more, do buy the book, When the Circus Leaves Town, by Dave Proudlove. Thank you ever so much for talking to us.
Pleasure, David. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem.